The Pat Kenny Show
with Aviva Insurance
on News Talk.
5 years ago, then-teacher Roisin O'Donnell was approached by RT Radio 1's Spoken Stories to produce a piece for air. The resulting 3,000 words would form the basis of her debut novel, which is called Nesting. And I'm delighted to say that Roisin herself is with me in studio. Roisin, good morning and welcome.
Good morning. It's lovely to be here.
And congratulations on the book. It's got rave reviews, I'm happy to say. Now, tell me, how does a 3,000-word story become a novel?
Well, it sort of happened by accident in a way. It wasn't something I set out to do. But as you said, I was asked to write a short story and I could write anything I wanted for Radio 1, and the theme had to be independence. So I could really write anything connected with that word. And this was in 2020, as you say, it was the height of lockdown. And all the time on the radio, I was hearing the message, stay home, stay safe. And I suppose I just thought, well, what if home is not a safe place for you? What if you don't have a home? Because, of course, the other thing was the rising number of families living in emergency accommodation. And I just thought, well, there's not really been much written about this. So I wrote the short story called Present Perfect, and it was about a woman called Kira Faye, who was living in emergency accommodation in the Hotel Eden with her two children. And I knew that she had escaped an abusive relationship. And this short story was just one day in her life, the struggles and the small triumphs. And it was read for radio by Siobhan McSweeney of Derry Girls fame. And that was great. You know, the story was done. But for some reason, it wouldn't let me go. I kept thinking about the characters. I kept wondering what would happen to Kira. Would she manage to completely break away from this ex-husband who was making life so difficult? Would she find a home for herself and her children? And I actually didn't know what was going to happen. And I think continuing with the short story and deciding to turn it into a novel was really partly my way of finding out what was going to happen next.
So your character, Kira, took on a life of her own and you needed to find out more.
Yes, I think that's what happened, really. Yeah, it was that she just came alive in my mind. And I was just aware that I feel like there's so many stories, you know, books and films where the victims of coercive control could be quite sort of two-dimensional, you know.
In other words, there might be one particular incident which is quite violent and that becomes...
Yes, that's
whereas
it.
Whereas the reality is a chip away,
yes,
at someone's...
Exactly.
Self-confidence and indeed control over their own lives.
Yeah, exactly. I mean, from the outside, it seems like Kira has a perfect life. You know, she's living in the leafy suburbs of Dublin and her husband, Ryan, is a good provider and can be, you know, very...
And the envy of many other women looking at, isn't he a great chap?
Oh, isn't he? You know, and the two kids and the house and everything like that. But, you know, behind closed doors, as they say, you know, she's living this life where she's completely controlled. And as you said, it's the psychological aspect of it that I just felt that I wanted to really explore. You know, her life is very controlled. But the thing I really wanted to look at was how is she going to break free from that? You know, I wanted it to be a hopeful story and to show really this character of Kira coming back to life.
Now, will you explain your title, Nesting?
Sure, yeah. You know, I often used to struggle with the titles for short stories. I'd have the whole story and the title would be the last thing that I just couldn't get. But with this, I actually had the title from quite early on and it started to take on lots of different meanings I hadn't really thought of at first. I might just read you a tiny little excerpt
here. Yeah.
This is where one part where she mentions nesting. Okay. It's a habit that started when she was pregnant with Sophie. She used to call it nesting, that thing women do when they sense their baby is arriving soon. Grouting, hoovering, taking a mad notion to paint the backyard wall Azores blue. Only Kira didn't sense an arrival, but an impending threat. Cleaning, painting, fixing every centimetre of the house felt like the only thing that was safe. So that's nesting in like the literal sense of this thing, you know, when a woman is pregnant.
Yeah.
But then as I started writing more, the bird came to feature in the story and the idea of the nest.
Yeah.
And that then became important too.
But the sense of kind of foreboding that you have, create, like their allegedly perfect life, which is not perfect because coercive control is present all the time. It's that unease. I mean... You're not in that personal. This is not in any way autobiographical. So creating that sense and knowing what women in this situation actually go through, how did you go about researching that even?
Well, I had heard so many stories in the news, and so many, I feel like it's something that I had been aware of for so long. You know, when you look at the statistics that Women's Aid say that one in four women will be impacted by some form of domestic abuse during their lifetime. And, you know, it's so prevalent. I was definitely aware of these stories, but I did undertake formal research. I did manage to speak to a number of women who had experienced coercive control, who had left controlling relationships. And I also spoke to an outreach worker from a refuge who kindly, you know, spent half an hour talking to me about the type of patterns, I suppose, that they are seeing with women who come looking for help, which again is a very difficult thing to do. There's huge psychological barriers there, but she was able to talk to me then about that.
And the number of attempts that a woman might make to leave before she finally leaves.
Yeah, I think the average is 7 attempts. And in the story, in Nesting, Kira has left before and Ryan was able to manipulate her to come back. And I wanted to really explore the psychological reality of that. I suppose it's the mind games that are played and the level of control. And Kira has been very cut off from her family and friends. And one of the lovely aspects of writing Nesting was about her getting in touch with her family again. And there's an aspect of kind of found family as well, yeah. The people that she meets along her journey who really help her.
Now, there's that concept of running away money, that people put money aside because they think things are not going well. And you capture that idea that, you know, she hides money that she was supposed to go off to the store and buy something for the children. She doesn't, and she hides that money. But when she finally is about to leave, she's very little money in her bank account or in her purse. Nothing.
Yeah, it's one of the main ways that she has been trapped, really, is that Ryan controls all the finances and he has undermined her confidence so much. He just tells her, oh, you're no good with money. Sure, I'll manage the money. And so she doesn't, as you said, she doesn't really have money of her own. And really, by sort of squirreling away a bit of cash whenever she can, this is her lifeline to be able to finally to make that leap. It's something I think that, you know, we're becoming more aware of. I know that Women's Aid and a number of the refuges have recently done released information about how cash is actually really important for women who are impacted by domestic abuse, because of course credit cards or debit cards can be monitored, but cash can't, you know. Yeah. So it is an incentive that I think is brilliant. And
then
kind
if you're leaving
out
and you're trying to find a place to stay, yeah, you've got to find, can I afford you know, the local hotel or the local bed and breakfast? If I'm trying to do Airbnb, I have to use a credit card.
Right. Okay. Yeah. So there's that. Yeah. So I know that they are rolling out a program of offering actually small amounts of cash just to women who are in Kira's situation and are trying to escape and trying to get away. I mean, it was hugely important to me that it was all felt very authentic and very realistic. I remember at one point writing Nesting, I think the most used app on my phone was the calculator, because I would literally sit down with a calculator and be like, right, this is the amount of money she's had. She's had to buy nappies. She's had to spend this on food. How much has she got left realistically? What is she going to do next? I wanted to really put myself in Kira's shoes. I think as a reader, I love stories that feel very immersive and you're with the character every step of the way. And that's what I really wanted to try to do with Nesting.
One of the fundamental questions, I suppose, is how does someone like Kira, who, you know, was a strong, independent, self-sufficient woman, end up with someone like Ryan?
Yeah, that's a good question. And I think so often in these narratives about coercive control, we can fall into the trap of really blaming the woman. And it's, you know, victim blaming, really. So many stories and books and films, there'll be sort of, you know, something wrong with her, or some, you know, there's some sort of flaw in her character, or maybe there's addiction issues or anything like that. But actually, what I wanted to show with Nesting is that it's not Kira's fault. You know, I think we have to stop this habit, really, of victim blaming. I think it can happen to anyone, really.
But it shows, though, happens, that the Ryans of the world are so capable of manipulation.
Oh, it is.
They know what they want.
Manipulation.
And they set about getting what they want, which is the hand of Akira.
Yeah.
And then having got the hand of the Akira, they begin You say it's not even...
You see, it's very targeted. I think that's it as well. You know, is that it's not just, you know, there's so many kind of generic representations of coercive control, but it's very targeted. So say, you know, for example, Kira is a teacher and Ryan has really picked on that and undermined her confidence, saying, oh, you're meant to be a teacher. You're meant to be kind and have empathy for people. Sure, you don't care about anyone. And, you know, this type of thing, if someone was, I don't know, a really good cook, then the partner might start just criticizing and they're cooking all the time and undermining them. If they're very close to their family, they'll undermine their family and say, oh, your family don't like me, that, you know, they're not allowed, they shouldn't be in this house. And so it's very, very targeted, and it's very difficult to escape from.
Now, this book was sometime in gestation, was it not?
It was, yeah. I suppose it didn't help. I kept abandoning it at regular intervals. I suppose I just thought, you know, oh, you know, no one's going to want to read this book about, you know, a single mom living in a hotel room who, you know, what am I doing? But I would maybe put it aside for a month or so, but something always brought me back to the story. And I hope that readers feel that too, that, that, you know, the story just kind of kept bringing me back. And I'm glad I kept going with it now.
Well, it's brilliantly written. It's published by Scribner. It's called Nesting, and its author, Roisin O'Donnell. Roisin, thank you very much for joining us.
The Pat Kenny Show
with Aviva Insurance
on News Talk.
Thank you.